Is everybody comfortable? How many devotees are in the hallway? Three. Okay, you're all right back there? Because there's more space here. Unless you have to run back and forth. Yeah? Okay. Yeah. So the seminar here, or class, I wouldn't call it seminar, I guess, but I'm just going to recount some experiences from the 70s, you know, being on the Radha Damodar bus, about brahmachari life, about book distribution, about serving the deity, the mood of ISKCON in the 70s, and some small miracles that occurred during my short stay on the bus, which was a few, maybe 2.5 years, something like this. And I'll just summarize that I joined the New York Temple in 1976. I was, you know, kind of traveling vagabond with long hair, as most people, and came into the temple. You know, it was an overnight conversion, this kind of thing. And I went to take prasadam. I think it was maybe the second day or something. And there was a group of young brahmacharis sitting on one table, and I was sitting alone on the next table because they were taking prasadam in the restaurant. You can come forward. There's plenty of space here. Here, you can sit right in the middle. Come. Поближе. Morning. Просим. Пожалуйста. There you go. So those brahmacharis looked at me and they found something humorous about me. I don't know what it was, but they were all snickering and kind of talking, whispering to each other. And, you know, I'm a sensitive person. I immediately picked up on that, and I didn't like that because I thought, wait a minute, what's going on? This is supposed to be like a religious organization. I felt like I was back in high school, you know. Some of the kids were like, you know, taking the mickey out of me, as we say in England. So as a red-blooded American young man, I immediately went to the top to make a complaint. I went to the president's office, you know, and he opened the door. I came in. I said, what kind of place are you running here? That's, you know, American style. You know, I said, what, you know, what kind of place is it supposed to? I thought it was supposed to be like a monastery, you know, where people are worshiping God and they're supposed to be religious. And I took the food downstairs. And some of the monks, they were laughing at me and making jokes. And, you know, what kind of place is this anyway? You know? He said, yeah, well, you know, it's kind of like a spiritual hospital, you know. Some people are not, you know, some people are doctors, some are interns. Some are well, some are getting well, some are still sick. So, you know, everyone's on different levels. And, you know, not everybody is on the highest level. They're still suffering from their material disease. And I thought, yeah, that makes sense, you know. Okay, but in other words, I accepted that that happened. And, okay. Because I'm a logical person, I just needed to hear some, you know, like, philosophy behind the behavior. So, but in any case, the president, who is Adi Keshava Swami, you don't know him, but he was famous in America in the 70s. Pictures that you can see sometimes of him in the early days with Prabhupada. So he saw me, you know, he saw, you know, this guy's not going to last here in this temple, because it was a huge 13-story skyscraper building with 400 devotees living in the building. There was an elevator, maybe two elevators, I know. You know, when there's so many people, it tends to get a little impersonal. So he thought that, you know, I'm not going to last, I'm a little too sensitive. And so he said, you know, he goes, you know, I got a good idea for you. Why don't you go out on the bus party? You really like it there. They're always traveling, seeing new places. You can see all of America. And there's a real camaraderie, you know, the men are all together and they help each other, and you'll do great there. And he said, actually, to tell you confidentially between me and you, if I wasn't stuck behind this desk job as a president, I would be out there like this. So then I thought, oh, okay, that's cool, you know. I said, all right, I'm game. He goes, tomorrow there's a devotee from the bus. He's coming to pick up books from us. And then he's going to go to the farm for one night. And then he'll drive the rest of the way to the bus party, which is in Ohio somewhere in the Midwest. So he said, so you can see the farm. If you like it in the farm, you can stay there. And if you don't, and if you want to continue, you can go to this traveling bus party. I said, okay. So we went to the farm. I was picking potatoes. You know, after 10 minutes, I got bored. And you know, because I'm from the city, you know, I'm from Manhattan. You know, I was the only white kid in my high school. You know. It was like flipped around, you know. And So you know, he drove me to the bus, and the bus usually parks in a campground like KOA. It's a famous campground in America where you come and you pay a few dollars, and they hook you up with electricity, water, and there's a bathroom, and like this, there you go. If you have some kind of traveling motorhome or something, it's great. So they were parked in one of these KOA campgrounds. And, the driver, I forget his name, I think it was Drishta Krishna Das, he drove me. And he was playing this Prabhupada tape, this, you know, the first album, Prabhupada Meditations. You know. And I remember tapping on the side of the door, because I was a drummer, you know, so trying to catch the beat, Prabhupada's rhythms, and you know, I thought it was very simple, but it was so very nice. Also, I was kind of capturing it. So we drove up to this campground, and the first thing I saw was this big Greyhound bus. You know, it's the normal size Greyhound bus. I don't know how big it is. Maybe 12 meters long or 15 meters long. It's pretty big, you know. And inside is the temple. You know, they have an altar with Radha Damodar and Radha and Krishna, you know, traveling around America. So then the first thing I saw was this bus, and the bus was going like this. You know, it was moving, and it was going up and down, up and down, and up and down. And I thought, you know, what's that, you know? What are they doing in there, you know? And they said, the driver said, oh, they're having a kirtan, you know? I thought, like, wow, what's that, you know? Because I just joined, you know, 3 days prior, right? So I didn't know what was a kirtan. I didn't know what Hari Bol meant. I didn't know what was Nitai Gaur or Puris and Subji. I had no idea of anything, and you know? I was like completely off the street, practically. Right? Like I said, it was an overnight conversion. So I was curious. I went into the, and plus I had saffron dhoti, kurta, like that, shaved head, because I shaved up when I was in the New York temple, because they told me I was going to the farm, and I had this hair. I thought, oh, that's not good. I should shave my head. So this devotee who's now psychiatrist named Vishnu Gada, he's famous in America, he shaved my head. And so, you know, on the third day they gave me saffron cloth. So I look like everybody else, you know, but little did they know that I was right off the street. I didn't even know what Hari Bol meant, you know. Did it mean goodbye or hello or, you know. So here I was, I came on the bus, and I opened the door, and like I couldn't believe my eyes. It was just amazing, you know, what was going on inside. Kirtan was just like smoking. I mean, they had to close the window. It was the summertime, you know, it's like August. So they had to close the windows because the neighbors, you know, in the campground would complain. But they were all in there, you know, like with the cartels. And there we had a big black devotee with big muscles named Raghunandan. And he was just like, he was drenched in perspiration. His whole body, all his dhotis, you know, everything was just... It looked like they just jumped out, you know, came from a swimming pool or something. They was like, you know, banging on the drum. Like this, you know, down on his knees, you know, his face, you know. And the devotees were, some of them were jumping, and you know, because it was a bus, so the tall ones were jumping like this. The tall ones were jumping like this, so they wouldn't hit their head on them. And some of the devotees were, you know, I mean, the whole place was drenched with perspiration. Absolutely, it looked like that someone took a bucket and just threw it on the ceiling, you know. And the water was dripping from the ceiling. Really, drops of water were dripping from the ceiling, and the floor was wet, and all the devotees were completely wet. The cloth was totally wet, you know. And I came in there, and it was, you know, it was already maybe 30 degrees outside, and it was about 40 degrees inside the bus. It was like a banya, you know, sauna. So now, some of the devotees, they would go to the back of the bus, and then they would run to the altar, and then just slide up to the altar, you know, and then offer their pranam, and then get up, run to the back of the bus, run, and then again run to the front and dive on the floor, and because it was so wet, they would slide up to the altar. Some of them hit the head on the, and then they would get up, and then they would go like this, and they would run back to the, and then slide again, and just, you know, and I was, wow, welcome to the Hare Krishna movement. You know? That was amazing. You know? I thought this is far out, you know. So the thing that impressed me most was like, you know, all these men, there was maybe 30 of them, and they were all sleeping in the bus at night. And so they were, you know, and then during the day they would go in, they had about 3 or 4 vans. And they would all jump in the vans and go to different towns like this. And then the bus would go to a new campground in the next section of the state. And then they would go like a satellite, you know, around the bus. And then they would come and meet in the campground. And they would call on the phone to the, you know, coordinator. And, okay, the bus is now in such and such town, in such street, in such and such... campground, and then the devotees would come. And some would sleep in their vans, and most of them would come in the temple room. So the devotees were sleeping in the temple room. There was no question of oversleeping, because the temple room was that's where we had the Mangalarti. So there's no question of sleeping past 4 o'clock, you know. Everybody had to get up. And the last one who got up had the privilege of cleaning the floor. You know, to try to inspire everybody to get up on time. And usually we go out and take some bucket shower, or some, you know, like a gallon of old milk gallon, and fill it with water and just like this. And, you know, it was so crowded on the bus that it was like, you know, one devotee had his head facing that way, and the next devotee had his head facing this way. Then the next devotee had his head facing that way. That was the only way everybody could fit, you know, because if you put shoulder to shoulder, then you only get about half as much space. So they had to stack the deck like this, like sardines in a can. And, you know, if you came late at night, somehow if your van broke down or something, whatever, then, you know, the method for getting a place here. The method for getting a space to sleep is just because everybody would squeeze in. So you just stand and put your sleeping bag up like this, and that doesn't fall. And just fall over and just get in there. And of course, everybody was squeezed in. So that was the, you know, the first experience of this bus party. And, you know, the next day we had the morning program. You know, we had the class in the bus. There's an altar there. And Sunday, well, I think every day we, you know, like, it was a nice sunny day. They took three picnic tables from the campground and put them together and made it like this one long table. And then all the monks in their robes sat on either side and, you know, they served prasadam to everybody. And I sat, you know, they welcomed me, come on, Bhaktapal, come and sit down, you know. Yes, and how are you? You feel okay? Yes. And here, have a seat. Here's your plate. Here's your bowl, you know. And I'd sit there and, you know, I felt completely different now because the devotees were very friendly, they were warm. There was, you know, like a kind of team spirit amongst the devotees. And, you know, I grew up as a Catholic, as a lot of you. So I, you know, had this idea of the, you know, the Last Supper, you know, all the monks and all the disciples, like, on, along the table, right? So I felt like this. Felt like, wow, it's just like the Last Supper, you know? Now we're going to take some holy food. And, you know, there was one devotee named Keshiha, still lives in America, I think. And he was, and when he talked like this, he'd move his hand, and he would, his voice was very soft. And, oh, what's your name? And, you know, and I thought, oh, he's so saintly. You know, I almost saw like a halo on his head, you know. And, you know, of course, each devotee had his own personality, which was unique. I thought, wow, these people are, you know, amazing. And I really felt like I was like in a monastery or something, except for we were just on the bus, and it was a traveling monastery on wheels. You know, I mean, the only time we saw, we didn't really see lady devotees in a sense. I mean, I knew there was ladies in the movement because I was in the New York Temple and like this, but basically it's like we just were on the road all the time, so we were sort of like completely unaware of that there was female devotees in the temples. We were just trapped. And so they engaged me in helping the cook in the kitchen, right? Washing the pots. That's the first job that everybody gets, right? At least at that time. And so there was a devotee named Mahamantra Das Brahmachari. He was the head cook. Now he is a sannyasi named Madhav Maharaj. So he was my first friend in ISKCON. And he was a funny, far-out, wild kind of guy who joined when he was 16. He was a Naishtika Brahmachari. You know, he's got blue eyes, kind of short, but very strong, muscular body. And he's always talking like this, you know. He would just go on and on and on. And he's talking. But he would always talk about Krishna, and he would tell me stories and quote verses, and wow, it's so nice, you know. So we would be, you know, he'd cook and I would wash the pots, and he would talk and he would preach to me. And sometimes or often, you know, I would be washing the pots as the bus was going to the next town down the highway. And, you know, so the bus would be bumping along, and there was a little hallway next to the altar, and then there was a little, you know, kitchen. I mean, I can't even describe it. You know, it's like, the kitchen was like, you just go in the kitchen and you can touch this wall and that wall and this wall. And that's, you know, that's, it was, you know, just like this, real small. You know. Like a bathroom in a plane, you know what I mean? Like this, you know. You can grab whatever you need and you just, the thing's right here. You don't have to move at all. You just, you know, cook this and then you grab some of that and you grab the pot over here, like that. So he'd be in there cooking it up and I would be cleaning it up afterwards. And so he would put the, there was no place to put the, you know, he was cooking for like 30 people or sometimes 40 people. So he had, you know, pretty big size, 10-liter pots maybe or more. And he would have to put them in the hallway. So the hallway was already this, so the pots were taking up most of the room. So I would, you know, and he would throw all of the stuff, you know, the knives and the, you know, spatulas and whatever, spoons, and inside of the pot. So I was, you know, we were bumping down the highway once, somehow I lost my balance and I stuck my foot in that pot. And when I took it out, it was sliced up and bleeding, you know, it was a mess. Because there was all these knives and everything in the pot, you know, and my foot went inside. So, you know, and immediately he told me, oh, this is Krishna's mercy problem. You know, this, you're getting purified of some past karma. I said, wow, what did I do? Must have chopped off somebody's leg or something. He goes, yeah, you're just getting a little reaction. You know, I said, oh boy. There's so many things that come into my mind now. You know, like I told you, we take bucket showers, right? So, but, you know, for any normal human being, this is pretty weird. You know, you go out somewhere outside and, you know, you're wearing copins and you're just running around and throwing water on your head. You know, it's bizarre. You know. So, but, you know, I mean, usually the campground had a shower and a toilet, but sometimes we were, you know, in some park and there was no bathroom, so okay, everybody's going out for a shower, bucket shower, and I said, all right, you know. And I remember the first time I did this, you know, I didn't really know. They said, hey, you just put on the gumption, you know, throw the water over your head, then soap up, then rinse off. Okay, okay. And so I did that, you know, we were near a train track. And it was, I remember it was, you know, I poured the water over my head and the wind was coming by and it was a little brisk and, you know, I felt invigorated. Wow, this is, you know. And then suddenly there, you know, so I'm there with my copins and, you know, shaved head, sika, you know, pouring soap and all, and then the train starts coming by, you know. I thought, oh my God, are they going to see me? You know, I'm here naked, you know, pouring water on my head and... kind of a few layers of false ego kind of fell away from my subtle body. One other service that we did, you know, there was no ladies, so the men made the garlands, and usually the new bhaktas made the garlands. And so, you know, I became expert at making garlands. I made a garland every day for maybe a year or something, or whatever. And during the class, we would, you know, put the thing down, get a needle and thread, and, you know, we would make only the petal garlands. Right? So you'd string up the petals first in a pattern, and then you'd cut them to where perfectly round. And that was the trick, to try to make it as round as and possible, with light, nice pattern, like an even and everything like this. So it was nice. And we were also the ones who were sent out to get the flowers. And, you know, to get the flowers nowadays is not a big deal. But then, you know, we didn't have money for flowers. So they told us, you know, go out and get some flowers and, you know, just wherever you can find flowers, just grab them and just come back in an hour or something. So we'd jump in the van and, you know, we'd be, you know, looking around town for garlic, you know, for where are some flowers, you know. And we'd see somebody's house, you know, 4:30 in the it was maybe after Mongol Arti, you know, at about 5:15, we'd jump in the van and, you know, we'd be scouting out for stealing flowers, you know, and we would be stealing them, really, you know. So either a person's house, we'd sometimes have to jump over the fence, sometimes there was a dog, you know, we'd go there with our little bag and our little scissors and snip, snip, and you know, see somebody would peeking out the window, hey, what are you doing? Sometimes we would have. I think so. I don't think we had. I can't remember really. I don't know. But anyway, we had the, you know, the flag flying, Hare Krishna flag, right? So they knew we were devotees, I guess. And a lot of the times, because right after Mangal Arti, you know, you have your dhoti and you just jump in the van. Most of the time, I think we had dhotis on. I don't remember changing my clothes to get the flowers. Enough. And, you know, sometimes we'd go to a graveyard and grab the flowers from the graveyard. Yeah, yeah. Because that was the best place. If you could find a graveyard, you'd get a lot of flowers, you know, first class. Right? Or sometimes in the center of the town, they would have nice tulips growing, and you just come there, you know, snip, 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 and the whole section of the tulips would be gone. And you know, sometimes a police car would come by, and you know, hey, what do you boys got in the bag? Some flowers. So I'm saying, oh, okay. Then later, then they would say, hey, those guys cut the flowers right out from the town center, you know. So we would be, you know, climbing over fences with our bag, plastic bags, and scissors, and. You know, all kinds of things happen, like stealing flowers from all these different places every day. But, you know, people they couldn't relate to it. You know, and a lot of times we just get the flowers from public places. You know, the town park and the graveyard. And of course, some devotees said, "Oh, grave! You can't offer flowers to Radha Krishna from the graveyard." And some tamaguns, and the leader said, "That's okay." I remember cleaning on Sunday. We had feast, big feast, of course, you know, and you know, feast wasn't a feast unless there was sweet rice, halwa. Some sweet balls, and you know, samosas and chutney, and then a couple of sabjis, rice, and your usual fare. And you know, each devotee, each brahmachari had this bowl, which was maybe about a liter. You know, right? They would give everyone had a bowl, and then they would serve some paper plates and this bowl. And so we'd have a bowl of sweet rice, 1 liter. And most of the time, you know, we'd have maybe 2 or maybe more of these bowls of sweet rice. Digestion was very good then. So. And then a couple of big plates, you know. You know, it's very opulent. So after the feast, I remember once we were in some, maybe national park, or I can't remember, but there was no running water, but there was a little stream of water. It was already night, you know, there was no lights anywhere. So we drove a car, one of the vans, and turned on the lights. And then me and another devotee were, barefoot, like in the stream, and we were washing the pots, you know, with this little trickle of water, you know. And, it took longer, but we did it. You know, no matter where we were, if we had a little water, we washed it. You know, there was a lot of pots in there being there. So a lot of times there was no facility, but of course we were living on the road. So. Then I remember the first, this was, I guess, just a couple of weeks after I joined, they had the Radhastami festival. So that's kind of a great impression in my mind. And the devotees, for about a week, they were saying that Goswami's coming. Goswami's coming. And when they said the name Goswami, it was like, Goswami. Mm-hmm. It's like, who's Goswami? And they're talking about Tamal Krishna Goswami, you know. So he was like one of the heaviest sannyasis in ISKCON. So when you spoke his name, you'd have to, you know, say it with great reverence and little fear in there. You know, I had to be a little fear, you know. Goswami. And I thought, what Goswami? They said, oh, he's a Maharaj. And in my mind I thought of, you know, an Indian with a mustache and a turban, you know, and something on belt and on an elephant, right? Some Maharaj. I didn't know what a Maharaj was, so, you know. And so him and Tripurari Swami and Alanath, who's now from Dwaiti, they all came together to the bus. And so we were all in the bus, they pulled up in the car, and they came in the bus. And I was right in the front, near the front door, and everyone else was behind me. So they all turned, and they offered obeisances. And I didn't know that you were supposed to offer obeisances to the sannyasi. So I was just standing there. You know, everybody else behind me was like, you know, trembling in fear, you know. Huge feast, because it was Radhasthami, you know, Radha red, you know, Sliva chutney, plum chutney, and Radha red chutney. And huge feast, sweet rice, gulab jamuns, you name it, you know, there was great feast. And so we were out there with our three or four, you know, picnic tables, like the Last Supper, and we ate like it was the last, you know, meal too. And Tamal Krishna, he leaned over to Tripurari and said, they're trying to get intoxicated. Because, you know, everybody was from a hippie background, and we were all accustomed to enjoy ourselves like this. So this was our new way of getting intoxicated, right? Drink a lot of sweet rice, gulab jamun juice, and whatever you like. And everybody, you know, after the feast, everyone started laughing and joking and practically rolling off of the bench onto the floor, holding their stomachs. And so he said, yeah, they're all trying to get intoxicated. So that was interesting. Then they decided to introduce us to book distribution. I was with a few new people from New York and a few new bhaktas. There was one devotee named Bhakti Ray, who they nicknamed Bolo Ray. Bolo Ray. and a few others, I can't remember their names, but they brought us out and put, you know, there was a Harinam, and then they said, hey, Bhakta Paul, you know, distribute a few Back to Godhead magazines. And I said, okay, I'll try. We run a little town in Ohio somewhere, I don't remember. So, you know, I approached maybe five or six old, you know, housewives on the street, and they said, no, no. Then I just gave the magazines back, and I said, I don't like this, you know. I just want to sing, you know. I said, okay, okay. I give it to somebody else, let him try. But the first time I tried it, I didn't really like it, because nobody took it. But then they had a kind of strategy, it seemed. You know, then I had a new service to serve prasadam to the Sankirtan devotees at night after they came back to the bus. And you can't imagine what that was like, because, you know, they would count the Lakshmi and then they would take prasadam, right? So when they took prasadam, naturally started telling each other what they did during the day, you know. And, you know, it was like, you know, most adventurous stories you ever heard. And, you know, the devotees were in complete ecstasy. They would say, oh, yeah, I distributed, 40 books. One guy gave me a $100 donation. Really? $100? Yeah, this happened. I was in a shopping mall. I was going into the stores. And then the security guy threw me out, and I came back, and he saw me again. I started running, started chasing me, you know, wow, you know. Thought he was going to beat me. But then he called the police, and then the police caught me on the road, and I had to jump across the road. I hitchhiked a ride, and went to the next town. The police were chasing us down the road, you know, wow, you know. You know, it's like, and everyone's like, you know, and I'm serving the prasadam. My ears like this big, you know. And every night there would be some amazing tale, you know, adventure. You know, somebody jumped off a roof, and knocked on somebody's door, and the person took 12 books, and this, that. So like gradually, it didn't take very long. I think I was doing this a few weeks. And then I came back to the leader. I said, can I go on book distribution, please? And he said, yeah, we'll see if there's space for you in one of the vans. As soon as there's an opportunity, then. Okay. So now they, you know, they completely changed the whole situation. I was like begging them to go out before I said, no, I don't want to do this. So once the leader was named Gopijana Vallabha. He was the leader of our bus. He was from New York. He was the New York president, and then later came on the bus. So what he did was by go shopping and do things for devotees during the day, and everybody was out distributing books. So I went with him. So I was a new bhakta. During the day, after I cleaned the pots, there was nothing to do. So I would just jump in the van with him. Like this. Make sure that I didn't move or whatever. So I remember at some point he said, I'm going shopping, and he says, here's a few Back to Godhead magazines. You go on the street and just try to distribute a few and see how it goes. And when I come back, then we'll go. Okay. So I went on the street, and in the shopping mall, and I sold all the magazines. Like in half an hour, 20 of them were gone. And I had a big pocket full of money. And I was sitting in the van when he came back, and he goes, how did you do it? I said, I sold them all. He goes, really? In 40 minutes? I said, yeah. He goes, how much did you collect? I said, I don't know. I didn't count it. I looked in the bag and I counted it, and it was like, $40 or $30. He goes, wow, you're big. I'm big? Yeah, you're going to be the biggest. $25 in a half an hour?
Ching, 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 ching. His mind means calculated, you know. That's $70 an hour. You go out for 8 hours. Wow, that's huge, you know. You can collect $400 or $500 a day. Really? He goes, you'll be the best. So then they started sending me on book distribution. And actually, there was one, and I did become like the top distributor of the bus, except for one devotee, who was my van leader, Brijendranandan Prabhu, who kind of trained me up on how to distribute big books, and how to preach to people, and how to be gentle with them. And he was a very nice person, very gentle soul. And so I was in the van with him, and we had a competition, you know, that who's going to be the number one person for the month, you know. Sometimes it was me, sometimes it was him, like this. So it was interesting. I'll tell you more about him later. So, you know, the system was that they would drop you off in a spot in the morning around 9:30, 10 o'clock, and in the evening around 6 or 7, the van would come and pick you up. So it's you alone all day in some area, shopping area, and you just run around and go to all the shops or stay in the parking lots and go up and down the what they call the strips, where there was, like, you know, McDonald's and Wendy's and Kentucky Fried Chicken and all the, you know, there's all kinds of shops and, you know, petrol stations, whatever, you know, along the side. And then there's a big shopping center. So usually you do this whole area. So, and then in the evening, you know, they come with the van, and he said, "I'll meet you here at this place at 6:30. Okay. Okay. Haribo, glory to Prabhupada. Jai. And, you know, drive away, and then you're there, and, you know, distributing books all day. So that was a regular thing, happened every day. You know, he'd drop you off, and, okay, see you later, 7 o'clock, right here at the petrol station. Okay. So one night I was there waiting for them, and waiting. It was 7, 7.15, 7.30. They still didn't come. 7.45. 8 o'clock, 8:30, you know, and I was thinking, you know, it was dark, and I was in the petrol station hanging around, waiting, and it was 9 o'clock, and I thought, wow, looks like nobody's coming tonight, you know. And I thought, maybe I should get a room in the hotel, in a motel next to the petrol station. There was a motel. So I thought, maybe I'll just get a room there. I'm tired now, and maybe they'll come in the morning or somehow. I didn't know what to do. So then I thought, I'll wait for 3 more minutes and then I'll go to the hotel. So then I waited 3 more minutes. Nothing happened. Okay, here I go. I started walking off the petrol station towards this little motel. And suddenly, this car drove in to the petrol station. It wasn't the devotees, but it was a car, a normal car with some non-devotee driving it. But there was something special about the car. There was a peacock feather on the aerial of the car. And I thought, that's a sign from Krishna. It's a peacock feather. I mean, I never saw anyone put a peacock feather on their, you know, radio aerial, right? Ever in my life, except for that one day, right? You know, 52 years old, right? It's the first time and the last time I ever saw a peacock feather, right? So I thought, oh, that means I should wait. So, and sure enough, I waited another 2 or 3 minutes, and the devotees came driving up, you know, all the bright faces coming out from the windows, and they pulled up, and I got in. They told me, you know, some of the police stopped them. They all got arrested, and then it took 3 hours for them to get. It was already like 9:30 at night, 10 o'clock, something like this. So that was one experience. I thought, wow, that's far out. Krishna, you know, he gives you little hints, you know, what you're supposed to do and what not to do. You always have to, like, look around for Krishna's hints and see, you know, what's going on. And I thought that was pretty amazing, you know, that God, you know, kind of takes care of you in some tricky way, you know, and sends some sign. You know. So, living on the bus was very interesting. But before I was sent out distributing, like, I would spend a lot of time on the bus itself. And there was only two people. There was, three. There was the bus driver, the pujari, and the cook. Right? Now, sometimes the pujari could also cook, so then they would send the cook out. And sometimes the pujari would go out. And so generally there was two people. There was a driver, and either the cook or the pujari, they would stay on the bus. So I remember once, actually there was nobody, it was just a driver and me. And so we were just driving down the highway, bumping along on the highway. And this was quite early, maybe a few weeks after I joined, before I got into book distribution, before I had those experiences. I was getting ill somehow, a cold, fever, you know, sore throat, everything. So maybe that's why I was staying back. They didn't send me out because I was sick. So I got some. I had some tablets. I was taking some medicine, and so it was time for me to take the medicine. But I didn't know where there was any water to drink. So I went up to the bus driver and I said, "Where can I get some water to drink? I have to take these tablets." And he's driving the bus, so he couldn't, like, you know, he couldn't stop and, you know, whatever. I mean, I guess he could have stopped, but he just said, you know, back there. But that's like, the whole bus is back there, you know, driving the bus. Where back there? Okay. Anyway, he said, back there, okay. So I started trying to think, what is he referring to? Where, you know, where's the water for drinking? And I was looking around. I looked in the kitchen. I didn't see any water. And then I thought, oh, yeah, there's a cup of water on the altar. Yeah. But the curtains were closed, and they said that the deity was sleeping. Right? So, okay, he's sleeping. But there was this cup of water there, you know, with a little spoon in it, right? And I thought, oh, that's what he was talking about, right? So I went to the altar. I didn't want to wake up the deity, you know. So I put my hand under the curtain like this, and I started feeling around. And then I got the cup. And I took the cup, right? There's one there, right? See? Exactly in the same place, right? And I took the cup out from the altar. I took my medicine, and then I put my lips on the cup and, you know, drank down the water. And, you know, contaminated the cup, unfortunately. And then I put my hand back up, behind the curtain, and as soon as I placed it on the marble, there was a sound. You know, the engine of the bus just broke down. And I was like, whoa. What's going on here, you know? Then I thought, no, it's just a coincidence. But maybe it's not a coincidence. My mind said, no, it's nothing. It's the deity. Maybe I did something wrong. And like this, I was really on the mental plane, so I didn't know what to do. So anyway, the driver jumped off the bus and he went around the back and he lifted up the thing. His head was there, you know, looking at the engine, trying to figure out what went wrong. So I got out of the bus and I went around to the back. He had his head in the engine. I was standing there kind of hemming and hawing what's going on. Prabhu, I think that I'm not really sure about, you know. I mean, it could be that, it seems that, but I thought maybe it's a, you know. And he says, what are you trying to say, you know? And I said, well, I think I made a mistake. He said, what do you mean? What mistake you made? I said, well, you know, you told me the water's back there. So I thought of the cup on the altar, and I drank that water, and I put it back on the altar. He said, you did what? No. And I said, yeah, I did. He said, that's an offense. I said, what's an offense? What do you mean? What does that mean? Because you offended the deity. That's Radha and Krishna. And that's why the bus broke down. Made an offense, an aparad. Seva aparad. Oh my God. What should I do? You know what? He said, you should pray. I said, well, how do Hare Krishnas pray? You know, I didn't know. I said, well, what do you do when you pray? Well, how do you pray to Krishna? You know, he said, just go in the bus, go to the library, check out a book, and just open and read it. That was his answer for how to pray. I said, okay. I went in the bus. It's very submissive, but you know, I went in the bus. I went to the library. I took maybe the third canto of the Bhagavatam, big fat Bhagavatam. I opened it up. And it's like, it was almost as if the letters like jumped off of the page in neon lights, you know, with a sparkling, you know, like, and the letters said, the Arch of Vigraha, deity form of the Lord, is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And these letters were like, yeah, the letters were like, you know, like lit up practically, and they're coming like kind of off the page, you know. I was like, wow. So I remember I closed the book and put it back, and then I just went on the floor, and I started praying. Please, I'm sorry, I didn't know, I made a mistake. Please, I'll never do this again. I'm very sorry. As soon as I prayed, immediately, vroom, 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 the engine just started up, and I go, "Wow, it worked!" That's right. You know? And the driver came in, and he said, "Yeah, you worked great." I said, "Yeah, I prayed." That's okay. We can go now. I said, so after that, it's like, I mean, they were always saying, you know. The devotees were always bowing down to the deity and saying, the lordship wants this, the lordship, we should do this for the lordship and that lordship and, you know, this and that. And I was, you know, I'm from New York, so it's like, yeah, right. Okay, you know. But, you know, after that, it was like, wow, you know, my conception of the deity totally changed, you know. I really accepted that there's God. you know, as a little boy on the altar, and he's controlling everything, and he knows what's going on at every second. He's super conscious. He's omniscient, omnipotent, and you know, it's like very deep realization after that happened. Okay, so that's like the conclusion of this first presentation, but. Usually I have more time, so I'm going to go a little bit into tomorrow's class. These were my first experiences today up to this point. Now we will just tell a few more stories if you have enough time, if we have time.
Okay, we have about 3 or 4 stories left. This part of the presentation is called Bizarre Events. Right? Bizarre events. Very weird things happen, like, well, you know. And this is just the tip of the iceberg, you know. It would take weeks to explain all these far-out things that happen to us. Gradually, I became a Sankirtan devotee, and I was driving the van, and I paired up with another devotee named Chaitanya Chandra, right? And we were driving around, you know, we were selling books, magazines, records sometimes, you know, and incense sometimes. Actually, there was one devotee named Ramacharya who was the pujari. This is like on the side here a little bit. Ramacharya, he was the head pujari. He was a little effeminate, but very tall, blue eyes. Somehow, you know, he went out once a week. But when he went out, he'd come back with $300 or $400, like, no matter where you put him, you know. But he did the best in the black areas, like, and he would have these lines for black people. It was very funny, you know. He would say, Hare Rama, Mama. You know, yeah. Take a pack. Slap a pack and don't talk back, just chipping a buck for good luck, you know. She had all these funny, you know, you know, and this old black mama's coming up. Yeah, darling, what you got there? Oh, there's some incense, you know, some room freshener for your home. And she's like, start talking like this. So funny. And then, take a pack and don't give it back, just chip in the buck for good luck. Yeah, all right, yeah, I give it. It's for the children. Okay, I give it for the children. And, you know, he would do this to, like, you know, all day long. He'd come back with a big bag of $300-$400, you know. Somehow, the ladies just loved him. He was just, she would charm these, you know, housewives, these old ladies, you know. It was so funny. Anyway, that's... Each person was like that. Each person was like a unique individual, you know, really. So I was with my godbrother Chaitanya Chandra, and we were driving around, probably in Texas, I think this story took place. When we would go south for the winter, you know, warm in Texas. If you went to the very southern tip of Texas, you would find places where oranges and grapefruits grow on the trees just on the street, you know, and you can just pick oranges and grapefruits and have them for breakfast. So we were driving around Texas, and it was late at night. What happened? Oh no, okay, I was driving the van, right? He was sleeping in the sleeping bag in the back. You know, we have a van, we always make a wood platform, and underneath we put the books. Right? That's the usual standard procedure for the Sankirtan van. So he was in the sleeping bag, you know, sleeping. I pulled into the petrol station, we call the gas station, and I went in, you know, I pumped the gas, and then I went in to pay the man. And when I came back, the van was gone. Whoa, you know, what's going on, you know? So, now what happened was, you know, as I left, some thief, you know, jumped in the van because I left the keys in there, you know, because nobody was there. It was late at night. So some guy just jumped out of the bushes, jumped in the van, and just started and just drove away with Chaitanya Chandra snoring in the back, you know, on the platform in the sleeping bag, right? And he didn't see Chaitanya Chandra. You know, and he's going, wow, I stole the van, I got all this stuff, man, yeah, he's driving down the highway, you know, thinking. And then suddenly Chaitanya Chandra starts, like, you know, getting up out of his sleeping bag, you know. And Chaitanya Chandra was a big guy, you know, shaved head. And, you know, now in America, they had a TV show called Kojak.
right? It was about a guy who was had a shaved head, and he was like a macho police, you know, special services policeman, something like this. I forget what it's not. So, you know, this guy's driving the van, and suddenly he looks in the rearview mirror, and he sees Chaitanya Chandra kind of going, oh. you know, and he's like, you know, and Chaitanya Chandra gets out of the bang, and he looks at the driver, and the driver looks at him, and the guy goes, "Wow, it's Kojak!" And while the van was driving, the van was still moving down the road, the guy just opened he was so frightened, you know. He just jumped out the door, and the van was still rolling down the highway. And the guy just rolled on the side of the road, down the bushes and the grass, you know. And Chaitanya Chandra had to come up and grab the wheel. He was still, his legs were still in the sleeping bag, you know, trying to drive the van, you know. Like this. Oh, I forgot the guy slammed on the brakes, right? And Chaitanya Chandra came sliding up to him, right, on the platform, and he was like, you know, he turned and he, Kojak, and not only Chaitanya Chandra, but all the bags of change, you know, that we had collected, all came flying up. You know, to the front of the van, and the whole those cheap coins went flying in the air.
That's too much. You know, when he came back, and you know, I was sitting in the petrol station, like, what's going on? He came back and goes, "Man, somebody tried to steal the van." And he told me this whole story. It was amazing. Wow.
That was bizarre, you know. Another time. Another time, I think it was me and him also, we would go in these little towns, you know, people are really simple, right? And, you know, we could work Chicago, New York, in the airports. We've been doing this for years, you know, all these alliances, and we can also tell how to deal with people. And we go in these little towns, people are like butter, you know, you just cut them with, you know, like, You can distribute anything to these people, so they just like butter in your hand, you know. It's like you can do anything with them. So we really hit this town's little town's pretty strong, you know. And you know, and we would like try to get a little extra money from whoever stopped us, you know, whoever accepted a book or a record, and we would get them to can you give 5 more, 10 more or something like that, and so. So we'd put pressure on people, like, you know, it's America, so fireball. So sometimes when we finished work in a town, like, sometimes there was 3 or 4 people like really fried with us, you know, and sometimes they would come after us as we were leaving the town. And this one time, we were driving down the road, and this. There was a car like passing us, but he didn't pass us. He just stayed equal with us. And suddenly, the guy pulled out a gun, and boom! You know, there was this, you know, light and really loud sound, and I could swear I felt something hit me. You know, I don't know. And I thought, oh my God! Pull over the van! They got me! And, you know, Chaitanya Chandra pulled over the van and he put on the lights and, you know, like, oh, it's okay, there's nothing, there's no blood. Another time I was with a devotee called Markandeya and we were traveling together. And we liked to save money, you know, so we didn't... very rarely we got a motel room. We would just prefer to stay in the van. And even in the winter, it was, you know, pretty cold, and you're in the van, it's, you know, just a metal box. And so, you know, we had a system where we had a little gas burner, you know, for cooking. And so we would turn that on just a little bit, and then we would leave a crack in the window. and then the van would be warm, and you know, when you have fresh air also. Okay, so, but one night, somehow or other, the flame went out. And I think he forgot to open the window, right? So the whole van filled with this gas. And we were both sleeping in the van, you know. So it was maybe 1 or 2 in the morning. You know, I was having a dream that I was underwater and I couldn't breathe or something like this, you know. So, you know, then I thought, oh, I was sleeping like, And then I woke up and I smelled this stuff, you know, this gas, and I saw my body was going like this. I thought, oh my God, the van's full of gas. We're gonna die. You know, so I was in my sleeping bag, and I just kind of, with the last ounce of strength that I had in my body, I just lunged forward for the handle of the sliding door, and I just. Somehow, because I felt like I couldn't move, you know. And somehow I just got the energy and I just came forward and I slid the door open and I just threw myself out onto the ground. And as I was flying through the air, or rolling, and I said, Mark in there! Get up! And then he woke up and he was also, and he threw himself. And we were both on the ground like... dangerous situation. Okay, this will be the last one. There was a devotee named Srila. Not Srila Prabhupada or Srila Narottam Thakur, but just Srila. Srila Das. I don't know where he lives now, but he's tall and with glasses and so he was a very unique individual. Like everybody else on the bus, they were unique individuals. So I was on a team with him in a van. There was one leader named Rasaraj, who was, he had spent time in prison, or I don't know, he was a tough guy, you know. And he was a good leader, but he was, you know, for a brahmachari, he was good. He was very strict, very tough, and kind of heavy. But so me and Srila and maybe one other person, he would be driving us around, and then he would drop us off and then pick us up in the evening and like go to the next town. So that was our team. So now Srila had this peculiarity. He was the senior person in the amongst the distributors. So he would get the first place where to distribute. Like wherever Rasaraj would drive, we'd drive into a new town and he would go to some shopping mart and they would say, okay, Srila, here's your spot. Right? So Srila would look up to the sky and he would say, it looks like it's going to rain. And Rasaraj would say, get out of the van, Srila. and then he would say, but there's no people here. Look, it's completely empty. I'll do nothing all day. Rasaraj would say, get out of the van, Srila. And then Srila would say, oh no, look, there's a policeman. There's a security patrol. This place is crawling with police. They'll probably throw me in jail and, you know, we'll lose all this money. And, you know, this is, just take me to the next place. I don't care what it's like. Get out of the van, Srila. So, and Srila goes, no, no, but really, this place is a dread. Definitely, I'll do nothing here, I'm sure, you know. And so he would say, get out of the van, Srila. He would, from the driver's, he would, you know, lean over, open the door, throw the door open, and then he would physically push him, like kick him, like out of the car. And he would be on the ground, And then he would say, throw him the books, and then we'd throw him his box of books and shut the door, and we'd say, 7 o'clock, Shula.
Oh, every morning it was like that. It was so funny. But here's the thing. Now here's the clincher, that every evening at 7 o'clock, when we went to the shopping mart to find Srila, Srila was in the parking lot dancing. Right? Dancing. Like a madman, you know, with the two empty boxes upside down, you know, showing us that they are both empty, right? He distributed 40 books, right? And he was dancing, and he had this like huge mouth and glasses, and he'd have smiling. And he would be dancing between the cars and, you know, like floating like this with his two boxes. And Master would go, look, she was in ecstasy. And we go, yeah. And then Shula would get in the van and say, how did it go? How did it go, Shula? That's, wow, it was great. Oh, I distributed. So I met so much nice people. And everyone gave nice donations. Oh, this place is great. Maybe you can come here tomorrow, you know. But no, Shula, we're going to the new town. Oh, yeah, okay. And he would tell, he would be so like excited and animated. He'd be telling all these stories. And I met this person. And he said this, that. And I... Da, 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 da. He wouldn't stop the whole night. He would be in so much ecstasy until the next morning. And we would pull up in the, you know, in the new town, and he would say, here's your spot, Srila. And Srila would look up and he would say, but it looks like it's going to rain. And Rasaraj would say, get out of the van, Srila. But there's no people here. I'll do terrible. He goes, get out of the van, Shula. Look, there's a policeman. I'll get arrested and it will be a big trouble. And he was so mental, he just didn't want to get out of the van. They would kick him out again. Throw his books and say, 7 o'clock, Shula. Slam the door. Drive away. Every morning. And every evening, he would be, people walking out of the shopping mall, they'd be looking at this guy. Big glasses and a hat, you know, dancing with the boxes. Because the thing is that, you know, when you're doing Sankirtan, you get mental, like, and the best thing to do is just, the first person you see, just come up to him and just try to give him a book, no matter who it is, how old they are, how, you know, how conservative they look, doesn't matter, you just try to give them a book, and immediately you just go off the mental plane. Because Srila's mental plane was so thick. Every morning, you know, he'd have to get kicked out of the van. So Krishna consciousness is ecstatic, but you have to allow yourself to get absorbed, you know, above the mind, above the intellect, above the bodily platform, so that you can taste some nectar from the soul, which is comes from surrendering to the spiritual master, and in this case, distributing Prabhupada's books. Okay. Hare Krishna. Stay tuned tomorrow at 5 o'clock. More.
We'll finish tomorrow with bizarre events. Further to fights and then like this, and then we have Sankirtan, more Sankirtan leelas. Okay, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.